A lot happening around Oregon athletics. Softball team, now the Big Ten leaders. Our guest is the voice of the program for the outstanding student station, KWVA. Hails from a suburb of Chicago. You can follow along on the X platform using @RealSaul_Galvan. Saul, great having you. How's life treating you this spring?
Good, Steve. Appreciate you having me on. It's very detailed. I appreciate the shout out on Twitter.
Sure, as always. So I love having a first time guest because I always call it we delve a bit. I mentioned you went to Nazareth Academy High, Cook County. So give us a little insight. You're obviously too young for the Jordan dynasty. Actually, you're probably too young for the Bears 2006 Super Bowl team. So I'm curious, who were the teams and players kind of during your formative years that made you such a big sports nut?
Man, that's a great question. And, you know, I will say I'm a little too young for that kind of era, but thanks to YouTube and to The Last Dance, I'm able to catch up on that. Also for my dad, too. He gave me a lot of he told me a lot about that era, which I really wish I was alive for, but it was unfortunate. But, yeah, I mean, I grew up a big Bears fan, grew up a big Cubs fan as well, growing up to games with my dad and, you know, fell in love with Starlin Castro and Anthony Rizzo. Those were a couple players that really got me hooked into sports from the beginning. Patrick Kane from the Blackhawks, Derrick Rose for the Bulls, just all the legends growing up of my time. And, you know, that's really what got me into sports and made me want to have a career in it.
Yes, Stanley Cups for the Blackhawks didn't exist when I was a kid. Of course, World Series for the Cubs. But after you graduated high school, so you, now it's the time for the next phase of your life, education. I'm curious, had you been to Eugene? What schools were you considering? And what made you think, you know what? Time to be a Duck.
You know, it was actually funny. I ended up getting a scholarship. I was a caddy all throughout high school, so I was fortunate enough to get a full ride scholarship to a few universities throughout the country. And the University of Oregon was actually on that list. And I had no idea about Eugene. Never been to Eugene. Never, you know, I didn't know where Oregon was at the time. But I said, you know what? I've been taking risks my whole life. Why not give it a shot? So I ended up picking University of Oregon. Came out here for a visit in the couple months before I graduated high school. And immediately when I got to the airport, it was probably the smallest airport I've been to in my entire life. And I pulled up and I was like, what did I get myself into? What's going on here? And we started driving around. It was nothing but trees and mountains around. And I was like, did I make the right decision? But 3 years later, you know, I'm here right now and I love it, absolutely. This is the best decision I ever made in my life. I love Eugene. It's like a second home to me, being so far away from Chicago. And I just felt like I could have made the better decision.
Not quite O'Hare when it comes to...
Not quite O'Hare.
And believe me, I went through that 35 years ago. I moved here. I lived my whole life in New York and Philly. And I pulled into the airport. I was like, that's not really an airport. So we continue with Saul Galvan, voice of Oregon softball and KWVA. So you're an avid golfer. Sunday before last, we witnessed history at Augusta National. Rory joins that ridiculously elite list. Jack, Tiger, Hogan with the career grand slam. Crazy final round, sudden death. So you're a big Rory fan, and I guess what about after 11 years and some slip-ups, his finally getting his green jacket?
Man, that was so cool to watch. And I will say right now that I was actually in the airport coming back from Minnesota. I was watching it on my phone, and I was begging. There was a couple people in my row that were watching the round on their phones, and our flight was supposed to take off in about 10 minutes. We were just all begging the pilot, like, please, can you not take off for 10 minutes so we can watch this final putt? Luckily, they had to load some bags on, so we were able to watch the ending of it. But it was such a cool moment, really. I grew up, you know, a big Rory McIlroy fan when I first started getting into golf. He was a player that I would always watch. Guys like him, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, just all players that I really admired growing up. And even at times when I really didn't want to watch golf, you know, they made it really exciting. They're just so energetic, and what they've done for the game is really cool. And, you know, for Rory to get it done, it's storybook. It's been such a long time coming. I've met a couple times at some events for my scholarship, and he's such an amazing guy. I'm always rooting for him, and to see him get it done, you know, and just let out all the emotion and with his, you know, best friend on the bag. It's just, it was such a cool moment for me to witness live.
Oh yeah, it was magical. The way that was like, oh my God, he's gonna piss this away, and then he ended up winning it. Unbelievable. All right, softball, Big Ten leaders, ranked fifth in the country, but beyond the record and the numbers, I've had an opportunity to talk with Coach Lombardi multiple times. They're kind of a unique group in that it seems they play with unbridled joy, a sense of unity. You know, you're close to them. At its core, just how much has it been to follow this team and call their games?
It's been so much fun, honestly. And this is my first, you know, kind of season as following a team, as being the voice of a team. And it's an absolute privilege. This is an amazing program with some amazing student athletes and the coaches as well. Coach Lombardi was really welcoming into a program, especially, you know, when they don't have to. I'm just a 20-year-old student broadcaster and who's never had this kind of opportunity before. You know, what kind of respect should I get? But as soon as I came in, you know, they opened their doors to me, and you can just see right away the passion and the love that this team has for each other every single time, whether it's practice, whether it's traveling, whether it's on the field, they always have a smile on their face. And it's kind of funny too, because, you know, as some of these top ranked teams go, it's a lot of veterans, it's a lot of older players, but that's not the case with this team. This is a very, very young led team. Still have some seniors and some juniors kind of sprinkling in, but for majority of it, it's a lot of underclassmen. And sometimes as underclassmen, you don't really, you know, get it right away. You don't get the intensity of playing in some of these high stakes games, but the narrative around this team right now is that they do get it and that they are ready. They just got a big matchup against UCLA. They had some big games against Florida State earlier this season. It feels like every time there's been a big moment for this team, they stepped up and they answered the call.
Continue with Saul Galvan, KWVA play-by-play man, talking Duck softball. Lindsey Grind just won National Pitcher of the Week. Not a bad week. Three wins, didn't allow anything. Just what about the remarkable impact she's made as someone who is a very big-time transfer from the ACC?
Yeah, Lindsey's been amazing so far. You could say that she's been the anchor of this pitching staff. And if you look at the numbers from last year from Virginia Tech, you know, you knew she was going to be a really good pitcher this year. But, I mean, even myself, and just looking at what she did last year, I don't think a lot of people expected her to be this good, especially against the competition that she's been facing. You look at the numbers right now, she still hasn't given up a run to a top 25 team. And that's impressive considering the matchups that they had against Florida State, against UCLA, even against Tennessee too. All those teams are in the top 25 right now. And yet every time she goes out there, she's such an energetic pitcher. That's the other thing too, is she has so much energy. She plays so much joy, just like the rest of her teammates. But when she's in the circle, she's locked down. You cannot get to her. Doesn't matter if she falls behind the count. Doesn't matter if there's runners on first and second. She takes it one batter at a time, and she really is focused on the next pitch. And she has just amazing stuff. The velocity's right there. She also added the drop ball as well to her arsenal, which was big. It's really allowed her to control the at-bats a lot more. But her command is outstanding, probably one of the best I've seen out of any college softball pitcher in quite a while. And, you know, just her ability to, even though she falls behind the count, to be able to come back, that's such a big thing, especially for a postseason pitcher.
Yeah, she's, I've used the word steely. Whether it's she or Elise Sokolsky in the circle, the team behind them, you know, they had that run. They went five straight games without making an error. You know, you got Sinicki flashing that gold glove at short, the Lushars in the outfield, seeing them up close and personal. How stellar is this Oregon D?
You know, I've been with this team now for pretty much the whole season, and even they still continue to surprise me. Every time I see them go out, they just do something that kind of makes my jaw drop, whether it's Lushar making diamond catches in the outfield or Sinicki turning double plays by herself. I mean, again, this team just every single weekend takes it to a whole nother level. It's kind of crazy to think about that even after the first couple weeks, they said it themselves that they weren't done. And I talked with the associate head coach Sam Martyr last week before the Minnesota series. You know, that's when they were still in the top 10. They had gotten some big wins against Rutgers, against Michigan, but they were coming off that loss to LMU. And at that point, they were starting to get some of their players back, players like Ayanna Shaw and Emma Cox, players who have been out for quite a while. And she looked me dead in the eye and she said, we're going to take it to a whole nother level. And then they went off to Minnesota, got the sweep, came back, and got the series win against UCLA. So that's how you know that this team is not satisfied right now. Even for being such a young team, they are very, very hungry. And they know what's at stake right now. They know that there's only a few weeks left in the regular season, and then postseason is going to be its own challenge.
Yeah, it's crazy how the games left have dwindled. A couple final thoughts for Saul. On to women's hoops. You got to call a fair share of their games. Obviously, entering this year, there were a lot of questions, a lot of roster turnover. You had Philly and Sophia Bell, but then, man, a lot of roster turnover. What about how this team came together, gelled, and had a really nice first year in the Big Ten and made the big dance?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, the women's team was so much fun to watch this year. I had the opportunity to broadcast their games for Big Ten Plus as part of our student youth program. And, I mean, the turnover, too, that, you know, Coach Kelly Graves did this offseason was unbelievable. He brought in, you know, players like Lisa Mevius and Deja Kelly. I mean, these are players that top 25 teams dream of having. Mevius was such a great defender. And then, of course, Deja Kelly, she was Deja. She's a great scorer, facilitator. You were bringing Payne Scott back. You also brought supplemental players like Katie Fiso, Alexis Woodfield, Philly Che. You have the size inside. So, really, it's kind of crazy because usually when you go from a two conference win season to the next, you expect it to take a couple years. But just like that, in the span of a few months, Coach Kelly Graves turned it around, and he got his team to a winning record in conference play. And obviously, it's a new conference, a lot of new opponents and everything. But if anything, that was probably a bigger challenge than the Pac-12. Pac-12 was stacked the year before with a lot of really good teams in Stanford and UCLA. Big Ten was probably as difficult, and not if more difficult. They were seeing a lot of their former players that transferred to Big Ten schools. And honestly, they lived up to the hype. Even in the games that they lost against USC and UCLA, they were still in it. So even though the record maybe could have been a little bit better, where this team was last year and where they were this year is just night and day.
Yeah, I thought the Mevius injury, we never know, but man, I would have loved to have had her in that Duke game. The last question, you mentioned Big Ten Plus, and I don't know that a lot of people understand, because you'll see, okay, there's an Oregon game, it's on Big Ten Plus, Saul's calling the game, but it's kind of different. When you're calling a game there, you're not really the Duck broadcaster, you're kind of like a network broadcaster, is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of correct, and you know, it was a big change for me, because the past couple years I've been working radio pretty much for our student radio station, and to go from radio and TV, it's kind of a difficult change. I know a lot of people say, well, it's still broadcasting, that it's really different. With radio, you really need to paint the picture. But with TV, you're kind of that fan that's sitting next to you in the living room, and you're reacting to everything that's going on and kind of trying to add to the story. You want to contextualize what's going on. And so I think that was the biggest thing for me to make that jump. But, I mean, when we're broadcasting these games on Big Ten Plus, I don't have the ability to be the hometown call. It's right. More of our, I have to be the neutral voice. And, you know, if Indiana makes a three-pointer that wins the game, I have to treat it like it was Oregon that made a three-pointer to win the game, which, you know, as a sports fan, it's a lot easier for me to do, because if it was just a Ducks fan, then it might be a little hard. But, you know, getting the opportunity to do these games and doing something that I've always dreamed of growing up, it's a pretty special moment. I remember the first time that I got on air and I saw my nameplate and my face up on camera. I'm like, wow, I can't believe this is happening right now. So it's definitely a transition. I've enjoyed the softball season a little bit better, because I can kind of nerd out over the air and lose my voice a little bit more whenever the Ducks score. But, you know, both of them have their perks, and I've just been unbelievably blessed to have this opportunity to broadcast some Oregon sporting events.
Awesome. Folks, he's Saul Galvan, ace play-by-play man for this terrific softball team, KWVA Radio, the amazing student-powered station. It's been great having you. I really appreciate the time. Keep up the awesome work. Be well, and definitely look forward to talking again down the road. But thanks a million for coming on.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Have a good one.